Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. Troy Dooley, Radio for Your Mind. We are in Dondi Scamanchi's brand new book, Career Moves, How to Plan for Success, Create Value for Your Organization, and Make Yourself Indispensable no matter where you work. And as we draw to a close, we're down to the last few chapters. I want to give everybody just a preview of the next book that we're going to go through. It's Les McKeown's book, Predictable Success. Listen to this right here. Predictable success takes you step by step through a startling, simple initiative and universal process that shows you how to bring sustained, lasting, predictable success to your organization. As I started reading through Les's book, and I'm going to be reaching out and getting to know him today, I thought, what a great way to get this rolling, because we're coming right out of that personal growth that Dondi's talking about, and we're looking at Zoe here and how she's growing as a person. And I thought, man, Les's book just segues right into this. How can you take it to that next level with the organization? And Kevin Small is his literary agent, and I've hooked up with Kevin's team to really try to bring some good reviews on some of their author's book, and Les's is the first. I'm going to be digging into this weekend. I'm excited about it. But today we're on Chapter 8, Exit Signs. When you have to go in order to grow. When you have to go in order to grow. And I love this. You know, and we've been in this storyline of Zoe, a gal that lost her job because she just wasn't a team player. She wasn't focused the way she needed to be. And we've watched her success throughout Career Moves. And these last few chapters have been so dynamic as we look at Zoe, because sure enough, we're seeing her grow. Dondi starts this chapter with Zoe meeting with each of the team members, assessing their needs, seeing what they need, putting her plan together, getting buy-in from everybody. But at the same time, she sees something that's very disturbing. She sees Sarah, who had been a dynamic person when she first walked into the agency, all of a sudden change. Seems that every time Zoe comes along trying to help, Zoe has, or Sarah has resisted and objected. Even today in the storyline, we see where Todd, who had given Zoe a hard time, asked Sarah to update on an overdated or overdue task, and she just glared at him and walked out. A little bit later, Allison, the boss, came in and said, Sarah and I have agreed that it's time for her to leave, that she doesn't fit anymore. And I thought about that and thought, how many times have we realized that we don't fit in an organization, good or bad, you know, is what happens. But at the same time, remember the 100-day plan that Zoe had? Well, here's what happened. A few days later, Allison asked to meet Zoe over lunch. The 100-day audition was coming to a close. Zoe was proud of her accomplishments, but as she unfolded her napkins, her hands were visibly trembling. I want to thank you, Zoe, for the work that you've done and the value you've created. Allison jumped right in. You've exhausted the plan, or you've executed the plan well and helped us through a very challenging time. Zoe's heart dropped. That sounded a lot like, thank you so much, that's all we'll need. Okay, bye-bye. She couldn't hide her disappointment in her face, and she dare not meet Allison's eyes. If only they weren't at lunch, how would she make it through a farewell meal? Notice how we all do this. We're sitting down in a situation, and we seem to anticipate the worst. Maybe it's our way of coping with rejection or coping with disappointment. But listen to this. Twisting her napkin under the table, Zoe finally found her voice. Thank you, Allison, for the opportunity. This has been a wonderful experience. I've learned so much. Allison went on. Your goal to become indispensable on this team happened more quickly than you may have imagined. Allison was smiling big, and if she'd noticed Zoe's heartbreak, she wasn't letting on. She goes, I'd like to discuss a new role with the agency. The team wholeheartedly agrees, and I hope that you will too. In the next few seconds, Zoe's heart had gone from sinking to just being elated. I'd love to hear more about the opportunity, Zoe said enthusiastically. I've become quite attached to this team and to our clients. Think about this for a second. Where are you at in your career? You know, Career Moves is not a book about telling you to leave. It's a book about making you better. Through this whole process of studying this book, looking through a woman's eyes as Dondi shares such valuable nuggets of wisdom, I've looked at my own self and realized there's been times when I had to leave, when I had to do things. And this chapter on the exit signs really came in strong to me because of a career move that I made in 2004. And as we go through the rest of this radio show today, I'm going to share some life experiences and how I really understand where Zoe went through. See, Dondi does this little subheading, says, make your transition successful by reaching for rather than running from something. It reminds me of something that I learned from Anthony Robbins when I was a teenager. He said, the human person, we all are this way, just humanity. We are the running towards pleasure over running away from pain. Dondi translated that, make your transition successful by reaching for something. You know, you're reaching for growth, you're reaching for pleasure, you're reaching for an objective, rather than running from failure, disappointment, and rejection. Listen to how Dondi says this. It's so uncomfortable to be uncomfortable. When we're in pain, the first instinct is to make pain stop. The problem with this approach is that we can make ourselves feel better by treating the symptoms without solving the real issue. We miss valuable opportunities to grow. I remember in January of 2004, looking out the window of my office and realizing that I had accomplished a lot in a very short period of time. I'd gone from working as just a rep in this company in the customer service division to basically the second person in charge, running the company some days, some weeks, when the CEO wasn't around. Making the decisions of a multi-million dollar empire, reaching out to big leaders across network marketing, reaching to big leaders in internationally. We'd accomplished a lot, but at the same time, because of my work ethic and because I'm a firm believer of a scripture in the Bible, Colossians 3:23, where it says, do your work unto the Lord, I'd taken and overused that, and I'd get in there at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes not get home till 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then start it all over. I realized that the challenge was gone. I realized that the brand I'd created I wasn't liking. I realized that it was time for me to exit with grace. I just didn't know how. But I knew that I wanted to run towards pleasure, not run away from the pain. And in looking at that, as I was reading this chapter, Dondi goes on and she says, I'm a firm believer that lessons not learned will be repeated. And I looked at myself and realized that I had done one more time what I'd done in the past. I had put my family on hold in order to please other people. I'd put my family on hold in order to take that recognition of the advancements of the growth and take it to the next level. I realized that a year ago my son had been born and I'd seen him very little. The only time I saw my wife was on Sunday afternoon strolls and drives, and usually my phone was ringing from the boss. I thought, man, this is just crazy. And I'm still reading the book, and I'm looking back, and I'm reminiscing on where I'd gone from to where I am today, and we're going to get there. But Dondi writes this, no matter how miserable we are in our current place, I believe it's important to reach for rather than run from something. Sometimes moving signs don't point towards an exit. It really is time to, or sometimes they do point towards the exit, and it really is time to go. Sometimes that's not the answer at all. I wanted to make sure in my position that I wasn't just leaving and leaving something unturned. Although I felt like I'd be leaving that company in January, I did not leave until July. When I left, I didn't leave by letting the door slam me in my butt. I actually wrote a very large resignation letter, sharing my thought, my heart with the CEO of that company. Sadly, it was kind of like in this book, it It didn't turn out the way I'd planned. The relationship was torn, probably because of things that I've done, probably never to be repaired. But what I've become after that has been something great. I've realized that I'd changed my brand. I realized that I'd moved forward. And in looking at Dondi's book, I realized that I really have, as a business person, as a father, as a husband, as a coach, I've grown. I've learned from my mistakes not to repeat them again. See, Dondi writes it this way: discontent may be urging us to move out of a mundane routine and shake things up with innovation and creativity. Or perhaps the dissatisfaction we're experiencing is a wake-up call. Before packing in, isolate the issues, define the problems. Otherwise, you will risk repeating the cycle in your next position. I realized very quickly what had happened with me was I was violating my personal principles and values. It was time for me to stand for what Troy Dooley believed in, not what the company believed in. It was time to get back my first love, back to the reason that I was in this great profession, back to what I wanted to do. And you know what? I'll never forget this. I walked away from a career where my last bonus had been over $20,000. Today, I do radio shows for free. We do a lot of advocacy work. And you know what? God has never let us go hungry. Our house payment's never been behind. We're moving forward. See, when you, as Dondi puts it, make your transition successful by reaching for something rather than running from something, the sky is the limit. You're ready to get your pen and paper out. We're going to dig in really deep on this right now. Focus on the pieces that you can influence and control. And here's some examples that Dondi puts. She says, if you're overwhelmed with your workload, you can look for ways to be more efficient and ask your boss to assist you in establishing more realistic deadlines and priorities. Ask for help. Don't be a lone ranger. Second thing she says is, when the work is no longer challenging, you can ask for special assignments or the opportunity to cross-train and learn a new role. That's powerful right there. If the hours are an issue, perhaps there's a way to put more flexibility in your schedule. Many organizations are open to the idea of flex time and telecommuting options, allowing you to work from home part-time. That's great. For colleague problems, think about the boundaries you've established and the way to handle conflict. We covered this in this book right here. And lastly, she says, if your job includes working through difficult customer situations, you may need to find a better way to manage the stress or develop new skills and strategies. See, there's always a way if we'll look for it. Sometimes it means exit. Sometimes it means move. But sometimes we can work our way through the process. I love that. But then she digs right in, because Dondi is a black and white young lady, and here's what she says. When is it time to quit? Now, that struck me odd. I got to tell you this. I've known Dondi Scamacci close to a year now. That woman does not have quit in her bones. And I'm thinking, why would she do a subheading that says, when is it time to call it quits? I thought, wow. She opens this up by saying, you've probably heard of Vince Lombardi's great quote, quitters never win and winners never quit. She said, I believe that for the longest time it was almost heresy for me to even consider quitting. Through some very difficult personal and professional experiences, I have learned that winners do quit. Write that down, those three words. Winners do quit. This was great. You talk about just a aha moment. Listen to this. More importantly, they know when and what to quit. One of my favorite authors, Seth Godin, puts it this way. Quit the wrong stuff, stick to the right stuff, have the guts to do one or the other. That's powerful. See, I'm a firm believer. I used to sign all my emails, never, never quit. You know what? I'm a firm believer. I'm a Marine. We never quit. We don't even surrender. We're the one branch of the service that literally surrender is never an option, period. Now, we may retreat and advance in a different direction. We never surrender. when I read through this, I'm looking at what Dondi's writing, and I'm thinking, this is rocking. And here's why. One of the myths in network marketing, direct sales as a whole, in any type of sale, is to never quit. You just go for it, and you'll make it. Just keep busting your head on the brick wall. Don't worry about the blood. You're going to make it through. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard of. See, there are times when you need to quit what is not working for you. You need to give up the crap and do what's working. That's one of the reasons in marketing we track everything. We know what works and what doesn't. See, this is some powerful stuff. Now, how do you know this? Listen to what Dondi writes. Most decision-making and problem-solving models include a sequence of steps. There's five steps. Listen to these. Number one, define the problem or define the situation, if you use my vocabulary. Remember, if the situation isn't clear, the solutions will be muddy also. Dondi writes it, define the problem. Remember, if the problem isn't clear, the solutions will be muddy too. Oh, this is good. You got to define it. Number two, generate alternatives. From the obvious to the ridiculous, what are your choices as they relate to your circumstances, your goals, your objectives? This is great. Three, evaluate your options. There's always an option, folks, I'm telling you that. This part can be a little tricky. To make an effective decision, you need criteria to score or rank your options. That's powerful stuff right there. Number four. In the model, well, you got to buy the book. In the model below, there's three options. They evaluate from a score of one is low and five of high. In this example, factors are also weighed with a quantity of life carrying the highest value. In other words, how is your decision, either to stay doing what you're doing or to make the changes, going to affect the overall outcome in your life? Is it going to help increase it? Is it going to cause you maybe more stress and more heart problems? That's the kicker here. You got to buy the book to see the graph. Number five, decide and implement. This step assumes a commitment and an action plan. You guys have heard me gripe about the law of attraction like crazy. Everybody sits around, oh, you attract what you think. Oh, if you want it, you just believe it. Listen to me. Listen to what Dondi wrote. Decide and implement. The step assumes a commitment and an action plan. You cannot think your way out of a situation if you're not going to act. You cannot attract anything into your life but crap if you're not going to act. You have to act. And here is one of these aha moments again. What my little, just beautiful, beautiful thing here, this little bitty square, public service announcement. I love how Dondi does this. Listen to this. Remember, no decision is a decision. If you choose to do nothing, you have still chosen. That right there is a powerful deal. See, no matter whether you're going into a business, plan and a strategy. When you're exiting, you got to have a plan and a strategy. When you're deciding to quit something, you have to have a plan and a strategy. See, you don't just quit. Being a quitter, quitting on everything in life sucks. It doesn't work for anybody. But when you start cleaning up your life and you start quitting things that are a hindrance to your growth, a hindrance to your personal mission, a hindrance to what the Hebrew language calls your kazon, your purpose, your vision. That means you're a winner. That means you finally got it. That means you're doing what 80% of the people will not do in life. You're setting the boundaries, you've created the action plan, and you are moving forward. See, that's powerful right there. But see, when you don't make a decision, that really is the decision. And you've decided, I don't believe anything Troy's saying. I don't believe anything that Dondi wrote. I don't believe I can be a better person. I believe I'm a dull, negative, disillusioned crybaby, and this is my goal in life. Those are harsh words, yes. but it's the truth. See, if you follow your heart and you decide, I'm going to be somebody, I'm not going to be this old label, I'm not going to be this old brand, I'm going to be the new me, the new brand, the new label, I'm going to make a difference, then you can do it. Dondi gives us 7 tips from people who have made even the most difficult transitions with incredible grace and poise. This is advice from some of the best people she interviewed. I think that this right here may be the pinnacle, the breaking moment in this radio show, in this series with Dondi Scamacci's Career Moves. Listen to this. Number one. In the right time, in the right place, tell your boss first. Do it in person when possible. If distance is an issue, pick up the phone. This is not the time to use email, to use text, to do a Facebook. Don't send an email that says my resignation in the subject line. Do it in person. Number two, if things have been difficult, partner with your boss to frame the announcement. Get on the same page. This takes guessing and gossip out of the equation and allows the team to focus on business and the mission. Listen, one of the most beautiful times I saw this in action was a few months ago when the CEO of Avon made a public press release praising her president of the company, raving about the fact that her president was resigning to take over the CEO position of a competitor, and how proud she was for her taking control and going somewhere and becoming that top person, a job that she has wanted for years. It was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. I'd love to see men have that same poise instead of competing sometimes. Number three, after the announcement, contact the person who will rely on you. Think about how your absence will impact them and assist in the transition. Don't leave your team holding the bag. Don't let them feel like you've ripped something out from underneath them. Be there in transition. Whoever's going to take your place, put them on a pedestal. My mentor, my hero, a legend in his own right, John Maxwell, lived this out when he left Skyline Church. John knew it was time to go. He had taken that church as high as he could. It was time to move InJoy to Atlanta. And not only did he praise his replacement, he supported him at every step of the way. A year later, when the church was growing, finally they were building their new building, John came back to celebrate. He got up in front of the room, the beautiful dinner, probably not even giving credit to the story, right? But John gave credit to the man who was able to accomplish what he could not. As a side note, later John wrote the foreword in this man's book that had taken part of John's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, and this man put 21 leaders together and showed them how it worked. That night when John got off the stage celebrating the new senior pastor of Skyline Church, Margaret was waiting for him in the back. They quickly slipped out the door, and as they were leaving, she said, what are we doing? He said, if I stay around, people will be looking at me instead of him, and this is his moment of glory. Folks, you've got to support your replacement. You've got to support the team. Number four, leave the checklist or instructions for tasks only you know how to do. Make sure you cover everything. You may even offer to be available for a short period of time for questions. One of the greatest signs of servant leadership is to walk away and still be accessible by the old team. Very powerful. Number five, refuse to catch short-timer syndrome. As long as you are collecting a check, then earn it. Bring real value to the organization until the day you walk out your door. When I decided to leave my practice company, I put everything in. Now, here's what I did do. I did not wait around for 2 weeks. I knew that I had stuff to do. I had a mission to accomplish. I talked with my CEO, and I said, there's no reason for me to stand around for 2 weeks. I've already made sure that the team's in place and know exactly what they're doing. You're back at the helm of this company. You do not need me any longer. 2 days later, I was gone. That company went on to flourish for another 12 months without me. I was part of a season in a company's history. That was it. Know when to stay, know when to go, but never just get short person, short timer syndrome. That's bad. Number 6, bite your lip and tongue if necessary. Do not leave with a negative commentary about the company or anyone in it. Be especially cautious with the exit interview. Who knows, in this crazy world, someday you may actually want to come back, so don't slam the doors on your way out. That's a great one. When I left that company, I made a lot of mistakes. I became a partner in a competing company very quickly. There was a lot of bad press that went out across our niche, went out across our industry. A lot of pain and hurt from my former best friend, my former boss. Things that I can't change to this day. Pain and a rip in a relationship that will just be there until the day I get to heaven. Don't make those same mistakes. You make sure you leave with grace and poise. Don't leave on a negative term. Number 7, make it easy for people to stay in touch. Quit your job, not your network. That's powerful. Let's close this out this next 3 minutes with the rest of the story. Zoe was enjoying a long, lazy Saturday until the phone rang. The sound of it annoyed her, and she was tempted to ignore it, really, really tempted. The hankering persisted until Minnie woke up just enough to raise her head and throw a disapproving look. Zoe put the book down and managed a cheerful hello. It was Madeline. Something was seriously up. Her long-term friend was normally full of energy, endlessly optimistic and options on pretty much everything. She was outspoken to the point of bossy, and for all of that, Zoe adored her. Madeline had been strangely distant for the past few weeks. Zoe had assumed they were just both very, very busy. But in this case, her voice was almost timid, and Maddie asked, "Can I come over? I need to talk." A few hours later, Madeline was sitting like a statue straight on the edge of a chair, biting her lip and holding back tears. Said, "I'm utterly lost," she declared almost immediately. "I don't even know who I am anymore." Zoe was stunned. How could this Madeline, an absolute force of nature, feel this way? Taking a cue from Elena, who was brilliant, she said, "I've lost myself. Situations. I'm lost." Zoe sat in silence. She said, "I quit my job 3 weeks ago. My family needs me. My boss, my job was consuming. It was the right decision. I didn't tell you or anyone, really. I don't even know how to explain." Madeline was speaking in choppy sound bites. Zoe knew that that was her way of controlling the emotion in her voice. This was big news. Madeline had been on a career track, taking time, picking it up, moving it fast. "There's no drama, really. The decision wasn't even difficult. My family comes first. The hard part happened when I realized my job was my identity. I left my job, and now I can't find me." "Wow." Zoe said, "You made a decision based on your values, Madeline. That takes courage, and I'm proud of you." Madeline wasn't ready to hear that, but there was no anger in her voice when she answered, "Don't be proud of me. You're the one with the big, exciting job. The only thing I'm in charge of now is laundry, homework, and lunch boxes. I feel isolated, Zoe." "It sounds like you haven't really accepted the position you applied for," Zoe smiled reassuringly. "How will you redefine yourself in this new role?" "I have no idea what that means," Zoe. Madeline rolled her eyes, but seemed to be relaxing a bit. She sat back in her chair and took a deep breath. Thank goodness Zoe was getting stiff just looking at her. "It means," Zoe answered, "this is great," matching Madeline's direct candidness, "that you have taken on a new challenge. You have a big job with important customers, also known as your family. Every day you have the opportunity to bring the best of who you are. Folks, this is a powerful close to today. You make sure you're living your principles and your values. If you have a family, you make sure your family comes first. One of these days, that career could be gone. One of these days, that whole niche could be gone. One of these days, you could look back and wonder, where in the Sam Hill did my wife and kids go? Where did my husband go? This is powerful. You've got to buy Dondi's book, Career Moves, How to Plan for Success, Create Value in Your Organization, and Make Yourself Indispensable No Matter Where You Work, even if that means you're a housewife or you're working from home. Tomorrow, inspiring moves. You were destined for more. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. We will see you at the top. Bye now.